Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Monday, March 25th, 2024. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr. Joining me is the LaCroix Poppy himself, Tim Gettys.
Oh, it's so nice to be back with you, Bless. Me and you on Games Daily. It has been way too long.
Way too long.
You've been out there gallivanting in Boston, having such a great time, I imagine.
Gallivanting is the right way to put it. You know, yeah. I'm just out there vibing, hanging out with people, talking to the citizens of the streets.
Crushing trivia shows in front of thousands of screaming fans.
Dude,
literally
it was
this time.
Dude, the Kind of Funny Game Showdown panel at PAX East was insane, right? Like, we did it in the Albatross Theater, which I don't know how many seats are in there, but it's a big room, and yeah, like, every seat was filled.
If someone could look that up, I'd be very interested. I imagine there's, 1,200.
Yeah.
But maybe I'm wrong.
It was a lot of people, and it was really dope, the turnout, and it was really fun. Like, you know, getting to host trivia in front of a crowd like this, getting, an all-star cast of guests. You know, shout-out to Jared Petty, shout-out to Jeff Grubb, shout-out to Iffy. Like, it was a crew, and everybody crushed it. The only thing that sucked about it is that we couldn't hear each other.
Yeah.
Like, there's an echo on
Welcome
stage.
Welcome to panels, my friend.
Yeah, dude. There was a reverb on stage. And so I'm listening to Iffy riff. And I'm whatever Iffy's saying, I know it's hilarious because it's Iffy, but I can't hear it.
Yeah.
So I can't play off of it.
Yep.
But also, he'll stop talking. And I'm did you give your answer? what'd you say? Because I did not know what you just said.
That is so funny. You can watch this now, everybody. This was last week's episode of Game Showdown. And do you want to talk a little bit about what's happening in the next couple weeks on Game Showdown?
Sure. Yeah. The next couple weeks are going to be off season episodes. So we're going to a cast of guests to come through the studio. We already recorded them. We did it during GDC week since everybody was in town during GDC week. And I guess maybe I should say what the next episode is. The next episode's a banger. All right. The episode that's coming out this Friday is going to be Alana Pierce versus Ben Starr versus Abubakar Saleem of Surgeon Studios, the studio behind Tales of Kinzera Zal. It is an all-star episode. You guys got to come through for that one. But yeah, that's going to be going down the next 3 weeks of Game Showdown. We have a rotating cast of guests that are featured on the episode. And so, yeah, come through, watch that, have fun, have a good time, cheer them on. But yeah, PAX is insane.
How was hosting the CD Projekt Red?
Oh, dude, that was unreal.
The main theater.
Dude, the main theater. So I don't think I realized how big the main theater was until I stepped into it. I look around, I'm like, well, this is a fucking, this is a big old room.
Mm-hmm.
But it's wild because when I'm on stage, you know, I don't feel it, right? It still feel, I think because we've been podcasting this whole time and also lights, and I know what it's like to have a conversation with people in front of people, even though we're in an empty room right now, right?
Totally.
But I know what
doesn't
it's like
feel
now.
That way, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't feel that you know, I'm sitting down on stage with them and it is cool. I'm doing the same thing, except there's an audience cheering every now and then.
And I think that is 5,000 people.
Yeah, it was a big crowd. It was really fun. I'd made a funny bit where they're talking about the Keanu moment in Cyberpunk, right? Where during that E3, the Xbox E3, you know, Keanu comes out, there's a big cheer, whatever. And you know, they're talking about that. And in my mind, I'm plotting a bit. And I'm is this gonna go over well if I do this? And I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna do it. And so as they finished talking about that, I was like, dude, yeah, the Keanu moment was big, but I got a moment that's gonna topple it. Introduced to the stage, Keanu Reeves, and I guess I cut myself off. And I'm like, I'm just kidding.
No.
The amount of groans in the audience, I was
you
this
learned from Greg Miller.
Yeah, I was like, that's fucking awesome. It's a great feeling. I understand why Greg does it now. But
that is so funny.
PAX East was dope. Got to meet so many of the Kind of Funny audience. People were so fun to talk to. People were so fun to hang out. Both after the Cyberpunk panel and the Game Showdown panel, got to meet so many people, let alone at the different PAX parties and hotel lobby hangouts and all that stuff. So many people came through and introduced themselves to me. And it was a very cool thing to
love
experience
that
in that way.
Very proud of you. Also proud of me for fucking nailing it. The Albatross Theater, 1,200 people. The main theater, 5,000 people.
Fuck yeah,
let's
dude. Let's fucking go.
Screaming fans.
Screaming fans. Let's fucking talk about some video game news, because today's stories include GTA 6 development troubles, Resident Evil 9 might be open world, and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about live on YouTube, Twitch, and on podcast services around the globe. If you love what we do, support us with the Kinda Funny membership on Patreon or YouTube to get all of our shows ad-free, watch us record them live, and get a daily exclusive show. And for a chance to be a part of the show, submit your thoughts and opinions as YouTube Super Chats as we go. Housekeeping for you. Oh, one more thing I wanted to mention about PAX East. They're finally moving it from March to May.
Yeah.
Which, thank God, because when I tell you, I was tired.
Oh, yeah, dude. Oh, yeah.
I was tired because, of course, we're in San Francisco. We're doing GDC. We recorded that full day, or like a long stretch for me of Game Showdown episodes. Yeah. And so, like, by the time I get to PAX, at the start of PAX, I'm already done.
Yep.
Right? Let alone a 6-hour flight. Mm-hmm. And so I land, I grab dinner with Snowmike Mike and then Lightweight Gaming, who I met for the first time. And
awesome.
Like,
very cool.
She was great. But yeah, grab dinner, and Amelia was like, "I need to go. I need to go back to the hotel.
Gotta take care of yourself."
I slept at 9 p.m. Mm-hmm. Woke up at 9 a.m.
Yep.
The rest of the weekend, I'm like trying to fight
just
off,
trying
like
your best. Yeah.
Yeah, trying to make sure I don't lose my voice either, because I'm like, well, I have a panel in 2 days, so I can't talk too much. But the whole point of being at PAX is talking to people.
I know. Yeah.
The
PAX East move to May is interesting. It's not, I don't know if it's news story worthy, but like there is a conversation there of like, what does that mean for indie developers and potentially some of the bigger publishers?
Because
Nintendo used to do some, not the biggest, but like some bigger things at PAX East specifically. So it could be interesting to see what happens with it so close to Summer Game Fest, what Summer Game Fest ends up turning into over the years. I don't know.
I do have it in Wii News because we can have a conversation about it, because I do think that, like, one thing I want to shout out too, I've heard over the years that PAX has kind of been dying, right? Like there's been less and less people, and a big part of that is the pandemic, but then also is like, can you heal from that, right? Yeah. Are people going to come through after the pandemic, after seeing that slowdown? This PAX was packed. And I don't know if I'm seeing something different from what other people are seeing, but as I was coming down the escalator into the convention center like hall, there are so many people, and it was lively. Like it felt like prime PAX or PAX
exciting
prime
times.
But yeah, like it seems like PAX is back for me, but you know, we'll see what the numbers say. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Carl Jacobs, Kieran Hovasapien, and Delaney Twining. Also, again, in case you missed it, a new Game Showdown is up, and it's our live episode from PAX East featuring Iffy from Actually, Jeff Grubb, and Jared Petty. That's up on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Today we're brought to you by Shady Rays, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is, and forever will be, the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have 6 stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Starting with our number one.
We just cleaned the other one on Friday. It's so upsetting.
It's like a cat. It doesn't like to be cleaned. It's rebelling. Story number one, GTA 6 could get delayed to 2026. I'm pulling a story from Zach Zweizen at Kotaku. Grand Theft Auto 6 is likely one of the most anticipated games in history, with millions of players around the world waiting for any scrap of info or screenshot of the upcoming open-world crime simulator. However, as remote workers struggle with an unwanted return-to-office mandate from Rockstar Games, Kotaku has learned from sources with knowledge of the game's development process that GTA 6 could miss its 2025 release window and slip into 2026. The game is set to come to PS5 and Xbox Series sometime in 2025, and internally, that is still the plan. Kotaku was told by sources with knowledge of the situation that early 2025 is currently the goal. However, Kotaku has also learned that it's becoming more and more likely that the sequel might not land until late 2025. It's also possible that it could even slip into 2026 as production reportedly falls behind. In February, following numerous leaks, Bloomberg reported that Rockstar Games was mandating its employees to return to work 5 days a week in the office beginning in April. The short notice and drastic change caught many by surprise and has led to frustration from staff who feel like they're being pushed out after being hired remotely, as reported by Aftermath on March 19th. While security and quality are reportedly the main reasons Rockstar is instituting the mandate to return to the office, I was told by sources who wish to remain anonymous to avoid possible retaliation that development on GTA 6 has started falling behind. I'm told this has leadership at Rockstar nervous and worried about the game missing 2025 and slipping into 2026, and is another big reason the company is pushing for a return to the office in April. At the moment, I'm told that Rockstar is still aiming for GTA 6 to arrive in spring 2025. While an early 2025 release is the goal, sources say they aren't sure if this will happen, and a fall 2025 launch seems more plausible and feasible. Meanwhile, delaying the game to 2026 is on the table as sort of a fallback plan or emergency option if needed. And of course, it should be noted, and I was reminded when talking to folks about the situation, that Rockstar Games historically waits until the last minute to make changes or alter plans. So the next trailer for the game, nowhere on when to expect that, might not reflect a delay as the company pushes forward on development. Tim Geddes.
First off, I just want to say, every time I see this game, I'm blown away by how it looks.
Yeah.
It's just absolutely incredible. Take as much time as necessary. I feel like it is more important than ever for this game to hit in every way that it needs to be a success for the industry, and to literally just take the time it needs to not have as to have as little crunch as possible. And I know that having a longer development cycle doesn't necessarily mean less crunch, but we're clearly at a point right now that we've never been in before where the return to office conundrum exists. And that adds more complications than we've ever seen. So that takes time. I feel like all that stuff is going to have to be ironed out. And I think that Rockstar needs to iron all that stuff out to the best of their abilities, or else it's going to potentially collapse the industry. And that is only being a little bit dramatic.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm right there with you, Laura. I think a game like GTA 6 needs to come out in the best form possible. And I think there's so many moving parts with it. We've talked about this recently about how do you launch online? Is online coming out a month after, a few weeks after? Is it coming out half a year later? Like, what is the plan with that? If they do it the way that they've done their last couple of games with Red Dead 2 and then also with GTA 5, right, I would think that online is going to come out a few weeks to a month after the base game. And if that's the case, that's a lot to carry, right? Like, that's a big launch, right? First of all, you have to get that single player portion right. You have to make sure it's polished. You have to make sure that on day one, when players have their hands on it, that experience is what you consider a 10 out of 10 video game experience from a single player perspective. And then when online launches, you have to make sure that you're avoiding the problems of online games, right? Which is, can the servers handle it? Is the game breaking, right? Is the game unbalanced? You know, like, are people having to suffer wait times and all this stuff, right? Like, those are all real issues. And these are issues that GTA 5 had to deal with at its launch, right? And it's still Rockstar. And I think they're thinking about that. And I think they're trying to, you know, plot ahead and make sure that they're able to launch that as best as possible. To some extent, I wonder how much of that is impossible, right? Like, we've seen the biggest companies come out with multiplayer games, online games, and still struggle under that weight of, oh man, server issues. Mm-hmm. Oh man, we didn't foresee this whatever tech issue because now the game is in millions of people's hands. And like, GTA 6 is going to be the biggest example of that outside of a Call of Duty. You know, like, are you going to be able to dodge all that? That is a lot of weight on this game. And I totally understand the idea of, hey, we'll take as much time as we need. I do think it's crazy to that where, you know, the insinuation of 2026 being like the emergency one, right? This game comes out in 2026. That is 12 years.
Yeah.
No, that is 13 years.
Yeah.
After GTA 5.
Yeah.
13 years for a sequel.
I mean, that's insane. That is insane. But if that's what it takes for a game like this, that's what it takes. And I feel like we're just going to have to get more and more used to games of that scale. That's what it needs. Otherwise, you can't just be getting these things out. Does that mean games should be made differently? Potentially. Does that mean GTA should be made differently? Not necessarily. I feel like it is the biggest example of as big a game can get, right?
Yeah.
So also, I think that a lot of what we're talking about here, so much of this is speculation. So much of it is just entirely hearsay. Of like, even at the time of people that are working there, how much information do they know? And if they're like, hey, things are kind of starting to fall back, maybe other people know information that counteracts that. Maybe not. I feel like it almost doesn't matter. 2026 to me does not seem out of the realm of possibility. It also seems kind of likely for this game, if I'm being completely honest. Like, 2025 seems like the goal. And clearly, they said that. They put it out there. And I don't think they'd want to put something out there to delay it. I think they did that to be able to be like, hey, y'all, we're working towards this. But I think that they will delay it as soon as it has to be delayed. But we're not going to hear about that until it has to be delayed publicly, right?
Yeah.
Like, so with that being said, like, really, to us, what is the biggest difference between 2025, whether it's spring, which doesn't sound likely, let's say it's October 2025, which I can kind of see as well, or October 2026, a very long time away.
don't say that. Don't say that to him.
But to me, it's more like, I don't want to say that just because I want to play and I want to play and all that. But it's like, I don't know. Like, for a game like this, with the money that Rockstar has, I don't think that is unlikely.
Yeah. And to, like, I mean, to the development times thing, right? Like, I do think that it is wild that a game takes so long to be made. Obviously, I say 13 years since GTA 5. Obviously, they were working on Red Dead Redemption 2 between that. But Red Dead Redemption 2 came out in 2018 and whatever. What else?
Online.
Oh, yeah, and online. Obviously, yeah, doing the updates and all that stuff, right? But Red Dead Redemption 2, their last big release, that came out in 2018. So then if we're talking about 2026 for GTA 6, right, that is still a very long time to be working on a game. That's still 8 years. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of video game studios and publishers and all this stuff are different, right? Like, I would say that 8 years feels unsustainable. Maybe it's not for Rockstar because they're Rockstar and they're just a unique case in that way. But I also, like, I don't know if I want to live in a world where I got to wait 8 years for every Rockstar game. You know, I feel like that is, I know it's going to result in something that's polished. I know it's going to result in something that is, you know, well put together, well crafted and all this stuff, right? But 8 years is such a long time.
But again, I feel like what's important to note, and this is where this gets scary, because everybody looks, you look at the winner and you look at the money and you chase that, and that's where things fall apart. But for Rockstar to put out GTA that we all expect is going to break records, make the most money any game's ever made and all of that, cool. Then they have the luxury to take however long they need.
Yeah.
And the moment that they drop it, people are going to be playing that game for 13 years, you imagine. Like, I think people are going to be playing GTA 6 and GTA Online, whatever that is, for a decade plus. Like, I think that's the easiest prediction to make ever. So Rockstar is going to be making money off of this game for a decade plus.
Yeah.
And not just money, top 10 NPD money every month for a decade.
Well, that's my thing, right? Like, even separate from the money side, because I think you're absolutely right. I just hope from the creative output, right? And like the, I guess, satisfying your fan side of things, I hope they're able to make good on the idea of, hey, we are crafting a GTA world here, right? We've seen the rumors and reports of, oh, they want to add in cities, they want to add in new areas, they want to add, like, make this a thing that really builds even more than what GTA Online did for GTA 5. If they do that, then I think you get around the idea of, like, oh man, I'm waiting 14 years for every new GTA. Like, I'm not gonna be playing, I don't know if I'm gonna be playing video games in 14 years. I probably will, but like, I don't know who I'm gonna be 5 years from now, yeah. 14 years from now. Like, I gotta wait that long. But if you can do it in the way of, hey, year 5 of GTA 6, boom, here's Los Santos, right? Here's San Fierro. Here's Liberty City. Here's another area that you can explore. Here's a new, I want to say single-player expansion, even though I probably shouldn't hope for a single-player expansion, but fuck it, I'm a hope, right? Here's a new single-player expansion to get people back in, right? Like, if you're able to treat this game in that way and give people something to fiend for, it's the same way that I look at Fallout, and I don't know when the next big Fallout game I'm going to play is, right? Like, we just got off of Starfield. The next big thing is going to be Elder Scrolls. That has to be at least 5 years away, right? Then are we talking about another 5 years for Fallout? You know, we're talking about playing a new Fallout game 10 years from now. Like, that's pretty wild. I know Fallout 76 is probably supposed to be a part of a solution to that. You know, hey, here's an ongoing game that could last, it's going to satiate people, but that came out and didn't do the dang thing. You have Fallout, the TV show coming out, right? Which I think is going to help with that a little bit. But, you know, I want something in the meanwhile to hold me over. I think that's the big thing, is I'm fine with a big release every now and then, right? But like, I just need that connective tissue to get me to the next thing.
I mean, that I think is the bigger conversation, where I feel like there can only be a handful of games that do have that decade in between them, and we're putting all the resources into it, and we believe in it that much, where we just know it's going to hit. Mm-hmm. There can only be a few, and you better freaking know that it's going to work, because if it doesn't, it could change everything. And we've even seen that, like, in some ways, like Cyberpunk, I think, is a good example of how long that game took to actually come out, and then it came out, and it had so many issues. Mm-hmm. And they were able to turn that story around, but goddamn were they lucky that they were, right?
Yeah.
Like, think about how we were talking about CD Projekt Red at the end of 2020 or the beginning of 2021. Like, it was really like doom and gloom of like, oh, wow, the mighty have fallen. And they were able to right the ship. And I think that we're seeing it in other ways where potentially there is a righting of the ship. But then I do think that the lessons learned from a lot of the other publishers, the majority of publishers and developers out there, is to not chase that. It's to understand we can't do that. We don't got it like that.
Yeah.
And what it isn't necessarily talent, but it is resources and budget and expectations of return.
Yeah.
So make smaller projects. Redefine what AAA is. I'm such a broken record on this, but I feel like that is the only way we're going to be able to keep games coming out every couple
and
years.
That's my main thing, right? Because I already see pushback in chat of people being like, you know, like, why are you rushing them? Like, do you want games to come out complete? All this stuff, right? And it's not that I'm like, don't take your time. It's more so the thing of, is that sustainable, right? Like, does any developer want to work on one game for 8 years, right? And for the audience, does an audience want to wait 12 years for a next installment for a thing?
I think for GTA, Yeah, I think for a Fallout.
I don't know if they do, yeah. Right? Like, I think I think people have been fervorous for GTA, right? Like, I mean,
that's a good thing.
You go to the comments of a Rockstar post 5 years ago, and people are like, "When's the next thing? When's the next GTA?" Like, we're waiting. You know, like I don't know if that's sustainable. It may be on a financial level because you're Rockstar and you're GTA and you're making all this stuff, right? But I think, again, there's a balance there. I think part of the balance is, I would love for a studio, for a business like Rockstar to go, hey, let's make some smaller things, right? Like, we can make the big thing, but also let's try. I love that they're letting Remedy make Max Payne 1 and 2, right? Like, let's figure out what those smaller projects look like in the meanwhile. But then also, yeah, just the balance of, all right, at what point do we go, not every single thing needs to be in the game, right? Not every single, like, I don't need to see every single pore on the characters of GTA 6. I just want to play it.
I just think that Rockstar and GTA is probably the only example where I'm like, no, man, do your thing. And you have the remedies to do those other things. Like, 2K has the other groups to do that stuff. I think that it is one of the only examples of a group out there. Fortnite's probably the other one at this point, that it's like, hey, use the thing that you have that you know is a moneymaker to be creative and then make money. Like, that is kind of the best case scenario, is people being able to do kind of whatever they want because the framework is so open.
Yeah.
Like, GTA Online could be anything. Fortnite has proven it literally can be any type of game it wants to be. So I agree with you overall. I just think that GTA has proven itself, that people will wait and that we expect that they're going to show up. If GTA 6 comes out,
and that's the worry. Is like,
I just don't think that's possible.
Is there any wood I can knock on? Like, I don't think we're in a timeline where GTA 6 can come out and it's somehow bad. At least from a technical level, right? Like, again, they can fuck up with story. Mm-hmm. I think anything can fuck up with story. I think there are ways to maybe have your game design in a way where it's like, but like, as long as you're GTA, like, I don't think GTA 6 is gonna come out and be a fucking linear game. As long as you come out in your GTA and you're doing what GTA does, I don't think it's gonna come out and flop by any means. But I do think that there are things where it is, all right, is the online holding up? Is the online engaging? Because online, that's the moneymaker, right? Yeah. If you don't have people coming back year over year and like hitting them with the expansions, hitting them with the ongoing content, I think you do start to see trouble of, oh man, well, we've been working on this thing for however many years and we're not seeing the return. All right, we got to cut off some people, you know, like that. I think that's a reality that could happen. I'm hoping it doesn't happen, and I don't think it's going to happen, but who knows? On the other side of the coin, though, I want to talk about the date, because it looks like they're aiming for early 2025. Late 2025 seems more plausible, and 2026 seems like hey, if all goes wrong, it was released in 2026. Is this thing going to come out at the same time as the Switch 2?
Well,
is that going to happen?
I don't think so.
Yeah?
I don't. I mean, especially, I think that this game's coming out in 2026 as of this moment, which I know that a couple weeks ago I was like, it's coming early, whatever. It's like, look, we're getting more and more of these reports. I honestly think that the return to office stuff is going to very negatively affect the timeline of everything. People are going to be so busy fighting about stuff and so busy dealing with the real world ramifications of their lives potentially being like uprooted that's going to distract from game development. So therefore, the game's going to get delayed. It's just, I think it's just a sheer numbers game, and it's just the reality of where everything's at, let alone everything else going on in the industry. I feel like Rockstar is not immune to anything. Like, they have to deal with reality. So I think 2026 is the most likely at this point.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I'm still leaning on it. It comes out next year. Like, now I'm probably 70-30. I'm like 70% on the side that it comes out next year, and then 30% on the side that it gets delayed to 2026.
I'm 90-10 on this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's my thing. Like, now you saying that, thinking this through, we've talked a lot about GTA 6 versus GTA Online. I do think that that is a big potential of GTA 6 comes out, but GTA Online gets pushed.
Mm.
And I know that that's not what they necessarily want to do, but like we talked about a couple weeks ago, there's a lot of strategies that could work with GTA Online, like coming in and really fucking hitting. So whether it's 1 month, 3 month, a year, at the end of the day, it's GTA.
Yeah.
Like, so giving the single player its moment to shine, like, I don't think is the worst thing in the world. Although I do think that there is the benefit of the closer you are, the more people high on the masterpiece, hopefully, the GTA 6 is, are going to want to spend a lot of money on online and get an experience there, right?
Yeah. I know we talked about this before, of like the potential of, oh man, GTA 6 and the Nintendo Switch 2 could release in the same month or whatever, right? Like, part of me wants that to happen for the chaos, but another part of me does not want to want that to happen just for the, I want to play it all, right? And I want to cover it all and all that shit.
Yeah, because we do plan on having you review both GTA 6 and the Switch 2.
Yeah, and I just won't leave the office for a month. I'm just going to be here.
We only are planning to do that if they come out in the same month.
Yeah. And, like, you know, we've had the conversation. I've come around to where you're at, where I don't think they affect each other that heavily in terms of, like, them changing strategy. Like, I think if they came out in the same two-week span, I don't think anybody's moving. I do hope that somebody picks up a phone and is like, what's your plan?
Yeah, well, I think that they're...
I hope they talk to each other.
Clearly, Rockstar doesn't know yet. Yeah. Like, I think that's where I was. Like, they don't have a plan. They don't know. Nintendo, I think, does have a plan. I think they have a very clear plan at this point. And because of that, I think that there's not even a concern about them coming out at the same time now.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, now that the Switch 2 conversation is no longer 2024, even as an option, and we're 2025, it's coming in March, right? Like, is there any chance that, like, that the system doesn't come out
in March?
I
think, yeah, this fiscal year. I feel like it's not going to miss the fiscal year.
I don't think so either. So it's like with that, I mean, I feel latest June, right? And at this point, I'm not feeling like GTA 6 is hitting before June. If it comes in 2025 with this news, it's going to be October, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, right. I don't think
that next year's going to be so exciting.
I know it is. But like, I don't think that there's a chance that they come out close to each other anymore. Mm. I feel like that only could have happened if GTA came out as early as it possibly could and Nintendo was coming out at that March spot. And I just feel like that's GTA's not hitting March.
You know what would be exciting next year? Resident Evil 9. Story number two, Resident Evil 9 could be an open world game, it is claimed. I'm pulling from Jordan Midler at Video Games Chronicle. According to a Twitter user, Dusk Golem, who has a long track record of reporting information about video games before it has been made public, Resident Evil 9 is being developed as an open world game. Quote, Dragon's Dogma 2 expanded RE Engine functionality for open-world games. The two other games building on this tech is Monster Hunter Wild and Resident Evil 9, end quote. His Dusk Golem's tweets read like this. So here's a little tidbit I'll share. Capcom will often greenlight new initiatives in threes closer together. Decent examples are RE7, RE2, and Devil May Cry 5 were all greenlit fairly close together to take advantage of their new RE engine, and the idea to remake RE2 inspired them to also take on RE3 and RE4 for a remake initiative. Dragon's Dogma 2 expanded RE engine functionality for open-world games. The two other games building on this tech is Monster Hunter Wild and Resident Evil 9.
Very astute observation there. I like the reasoning for the theory.
Yeah.
I really hope this is not true at all. You know what my least favorite parts of Resident Evil 8 were?
The open areas, yeah.
I don't know, man. That's not what I want from a Resident Evil game. Having said that, what do I want from a Resident Evil game?
That's the question, because I'm with you. Like, I don't know if open world would be my answer to Resident Evil right now, because I like how linear Resident Evil is, right? Like, yeah. I like the closed areas. I like the puzzle solving. I like how, I guess, intimate like each of the levels feel in terms of, okay, if I go here, oh, then the path's going to loop around here and I got to find the key and do all that. Feels really nice in that enclosed space. And I think there's something about that makes the horror of Resident Evil feel a bit more heightened. The fact that you're in this closed area that you know very well. So when you go back a hallway that you've just been down and a new enemy appears, it's like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's something you're able to do with how closed and linear Resident Evil is. Open world doesn't feel like Resident Evil, but I also want something different. Like, I want them to try something new with it.
It's rough, man, because like Resident Evil is a storied franchise with many entries that people love, and they're all very different at this point. Like, when you look at the classics, the remakes of the classics, the core series, and then the first person shooter version of the first person of the core series there, right? So it's like I feel like it can go without saying that there's been a lot of Resident Evil the last couple of years, and it's all been really good.
Yeah.
Like, really great. Game of the year quality, for sure.
Like, the worst Resident Evil in the last few years has probably been, what, RE3 remake? And even that was, like,
and that's
not
the
that bad.
Yeah, totally, totally. I feel like that got
Like, its biggest flaw is probably that was short.
It was very short, which I personally really enjoyed. Yeah. Like, I liked that. But, yeah, then we have Resident Evil 4 remake last year, which, like, was a lot of people's game of the year contender. And I think that it just kind of came at a point that was just like, oh, we've been getting a lot of this stuff. And then you have Biohazard 7 and then Village for 8. And those both kind of went in a obviously very different direction, even with the VR stuff added too. Like, Resident Evil's done a lot very successfully. And Village, I know, wasn't everyone's cup of tea, but I think overall was. Like, I think people did really vibe with that game. And thinking about it, it essentially was a open zone type situation,
sure,
right?
Yeah.
Because there's like the hub world of the village, and then there was kind of like the four different kingdoms or whatever you want to call them that were kind of just dungeons to themselves.
Now, here's the thing, right? As I described that, I think if you wanted to do a more open Resident Evil, you let people tackle that stuff in whatever order. I think that's how you'd like get around that, or make it more interesting, right? The idea of, hey, Resident Evil 8 had these, four kind of like big areas that you're exploring, and like they all had their different kind of horror. If it was, if it was either you get to like pick what order you wanted to do that in, or like, you know, you go to one and then find something for another, that might get a bit complex, but I think there's something you can do with that. See, I think Resident Evil 8 might be teeing
that up. You
want
them to get to making a link between worlds of Resident Evil.
Yes. I mean, that's honestly, right. That does kind of check out. I mean, is that what I want from them? It's not. I just want that to be clear.
Yeah.
But I do think that that makes sense for their game design when you think about, like, Link Between Worlds is a great example because it took Link to the Past, which the Zelda gameplay is... I mean, it's Zelda-like. To say it's like Metroid is kind of silly, but in the sense of like you get a new weapon, it unlocks something else somewhere, Metroidvania style. But the Zelda format of it with the dungeon specifically, that is kind of Resident Evil. Like even the classic games where it is, there's puzzles you're solving to get a thing to unlock a new area that like you're back, a lot of backtracking. Metroidvanias, Zeldas, and Resident Evils have a lot more in common than they don't, right?
I agree, yeah.
And you take that and how do you do something fresh with it? And I think that Link Between Worlds was the answer for that type of game. And I think that applying that logic to this more open Resident Evil like we saw in Village, I think you kind of nailed it there.
Yeah, like I would even like look at like Breath of the Wild as an example too of, hey, you can go in any direction you want and like in these four major things, you know, do it in whatever order. And like I like the idea of, if you know, in Resident Evil, you do one for all, or like maybe you do like a Mega Man example, right? Like, hey, if you do this biome first, then that's going to give you like a leg up in this other biome over here, and like whatever order. I'm not a game designer, so I don't know the specific ways to make it interesting, but they're smart over there at Capcom. They know what they're doing, and I think there are some really fun things you can do with that.
Yeah, it's just rough, man. I imagining that game, it feels like it's going to be just too much Resident Evil, and like especially if it's Resident Evil 9. So it is a sequel to 7 and 8.
Uh-huh.
And it is a sequel to the franchise, and where we left off at 8.
Wait, define sequel like you like more of the story.
Yeah,
from, and oh, God, I hope not.
More story, but it's gonna be, and like that I feel like we're just at this point of bloat where it's like, God, can we just hope that it's not open world with Ethan Winters?
Ethan Winters not gonna come back, right?
I hope not.
There's no way.
I mean,
there's no way Ethan Winters comes back.
Franchise is all about people coming back from the dead. You know what I mean?
Oh, God, no. God, no. I don't want that to happen.
No.
But what I do want to happen, I want you guys to go to patreon.com/kindoffunny and youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can go and get the Kind of Funny membership, which allows you to get shows ad-free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Shady Rays, an independent sunglasses brand that has over 300,000 five-star reviews. They are on a mission to match affordability with durability, making top-quality shades accessible to everyone. They have tons of styles and colors to pick from, so finding the perfect polarized shades is a breeze. If you want an upgrade, we recommend their premium Color Rush lenses. Crafted with rare earth materials, these lenses bring high-impact color to life, elevating reds, blues, and greens. Here at Kinda Funny, we all love wearing our Shady Rays, whether it is Tim looking dope doing his Pokemon Go walks, Snowmike Mike rocking the snow goggles, or Joey just looking fantastic in her tangle-free shades. If your shades go MIA or take a hit, don't sweat it. They've got lost and broken protection, so you're covered from day one. And if you don't love your shades, exchange them or return them for free within 30 days. Exclusively for y'all, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. Head to ShadyRays.com and use code KF20 for $20 off each pair of polarized sunglasses. Try for yourself shades rated 5 stars by over 300,000 people. Again, that is ShadyRays.com and use code KF20 for $20 off polarized sunglasses.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Real quick, Bless. Mm-hmm. I saw in the chat somebody saying, like, why isn't Bless wearing Shady Rays in the ad read? Fun fact, I learned this the hard way. Mm-hmm. You can't read a teleprompter with sunglasses on.
Of course. Like, I have trouble reading the teleprompter with glasses on, like with like regular prescription glasses on. We put sunglasses on and try to read a teleprompter. Heck,
it's hard,
no.
Y'all. It's hard.
Oh, man. I mean, I could try to look cool, do it, but yeah, no, I'm gonna be fumbling over my words.
We'll just have to memorize the script next time.
Yeah, and that's not gonna take too much time. Just me and my desk. It's gonna take a full work day to memorize that thing. Story number three: a Days Gone developer, Ben Studio, is working on a AAA live service game. This is Chris Scolian at Video Games Chronicle. The studio behind Days Gone is now working on a AAA live service game, according to a new job listing. As originally spotted by Game Rant, Ben Studio has posted a job listing looking for a lead project manager in game development. Quote, Sony Ben Studio, world-class creator of Days Gone, Uncharted Golden Abyss, and Siphon Filter, is seeking outstanding talent to join our passionate and creative family in crafting our next high-profile AAA title, the description reads. It then goes on to say that their role will be to, quote, plan and track release schedules against the defined live roadmap, end quote, and that they'll have to be able to lead the team in its key phases of development, which it identifies as pre-production, production, and live services, end quote. It later says the candidate will require, quote, a deep understanding of game development cycles, processes, and latest trends with an emphasis on live operations and hands-on game development experience and leadership roles shipping AAA live service games, end quote. It also says that, ideally, the successful applicant will have, quote, experience redefining studios from traditional boxed product focused game development into live service development studios in a key leadership role, making it all but certain that Ben's next game will have live service elements as its central focus. Back in 2021, Sony confirmed that Ben was working on a new IP, which was building on the deep open world systems that they developed with Days Gone. It's not clear if the job being advertised is for the same project. Here's the thing, Tim.
Yeah.
I was having a conversation with somebody in game development not that long ago. It was like a few months ago. And like, we were talking about a lot of like the studios that are making multiplayer games, like theories and all this stuff, right? And like, one of the things they mentioned that stuck with me is the idea of job listings and for like all the different reasons a job listing could be posted. A lot of the time, like when you see, well, we're looking for a multiplayer person or whatever, right? It could, like, the big reason could be because somebody just left that had that skill and they're looking to backfill that person that had that skill. And so, like, that's something that I always try to keep with me now whenever I see these stories. That said, this job listing sounds like Ben Studios making a live service game.
Yeah, and look, I'm just going to start this off by saying it is impossible for me to not come off pessimistic about this. Like, I feel like with every news report that we've had, the story is clear as day that this sounds like a story that we know the end to already, and the end's not good. It's very concerning that this is the path that Sony Bend is going to go down, that PlayStation's continuing to push. I don't have faith that this is going to work. And the successful applicant will have, quote, experience redefining studios from traditional box product focused game development into live service development studios in a key leadership role. So you're essentially looking for a unicorn.
Yeah.
Who has done that? Who has experience doing that? Because you look at it, there's not many groups that have ever actually done that yet. Mm. Because so far, everyone's failed. Everyone's tried, and they have failed and failed and failed. So who are you even looking for here? This person doesn't exist. And if they exist, they're happy at Epic.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is like, if they exist, they're probably still leading that team, right? Like, they are probably still like on the ground floor, making it work, making it happen, and like continuing to have that game keep going. And yeah, I'm with you that, you know, I think it's a tough role to fill. I don't want to count them out without seeing the game revealed. Like, I want to see what it looks like. I want to see who they have working on it. That's the big thing, is that whenever, if ever, they reveal this game, they got to sell the fuck out of it, right? Like, it can't be what we got at that last PlayStation showcase, where it was, you know, the Marathon, Fair Games, Concord trailers. Like, I need substance in that trailer. I need names. I need, like, hey, from the maker of Destiny plus Fortnite comes our new Ben thing, and it's fucking incredible and it looks cool and here's gameplay. Like, you got to really show that thing off. I think that's the thing that's been missing from a lot of these live service announcements recently, especially from PlayStation, is you're not selling us on the product, right? You're setting the tone for maybe what the setting is. You're telling us that you're working on this thing and you're giving us a name, but you're not selling us. And I think whatever Ben is doing, especially coming off of Days Gone, I know Days Gone has its fans, but Days Gone wasn't a game that set the PlayStation world on fire, right? Like, it felt like just another, oh, here's that open world zombie game, have fun, right? And like, some people liked it, some people didn't. I don't think from the makers of Days Gone comes this live service multiplayer game. I don't think that's a strong marketing point. You really gotta sell that when it comes through, and it has to be good. And like, I don't want to count them out because I think there's talent at that studio. I think they have the ability to make something good, right? Like, I believe in their ability, but yeah, like this is going to be an uphill battle for you to like get fans excited about something like this.
And that's where my pessimism comes from, is that I'm with you. It's like, there's so much talent there and it could be good. And I don't want to count it out till we see it and all that stuff. But it's like, how many times are we going to say that? Like, that's my problem, is like, we are at a stage of the industry right now where we got to read the tea leaves. We got to look around and see what's working and what's not working.
Yeah.
And this, everything we're seeing here doesn't sound like it's adding up to something that I believe is going to work. I think that there is a very slim chance of anything you just said actually happening.
Yeah.
Of when we see this game, them presenting it in a way that we look at and go,
Yeah. Oh,
I was wrong to be pessimistic about it. And I hope that I am. Obviously, I hope that I'm not rooting against any of this stuff. I want these teams to be successful. That is only good for literally everybody. But I have zero reason to believe that's not going to be the case.
I'm like reading back to see, like, I'm like, what's the best case scenario here? Because now I'm going through my head of like, yo, what if it's a, like, what if it comes out and it's like a Dune multiplayer game, which I know exists, but like, I don't know, like a first party Dune multiplayer game, or like Star Wars or like Marvel or something. Like, what if there's something attached to it that we don't know that's going to be exciting? But even here, they do say that they're like working on it.
Suicide Squad?
Oh, God. Why?
Oh, Avengers. Why? How about Fuck. Avengers?
Fuck. Shit.
No?
What if it's like, what if you're on the front of the battle and it's in Star Wars and you put a 2 on it and put some loot boxes in there? You know, you're in the front of the battle. You call it Battlefront 2. Hear me out, Barrett. All right. You can play as Darth Vader. They also do say they're working on a new IP, so maybe they're not going to do that. But yeah, we'll see. Somebody says, wait, what about Gotham Knights?
What about it?
What about it? It's a good call. There you go. There you go.
What about it?
And so, again, there's a lot to talk about here, and I don't mean to just come off salty. It's more I'm coming off angry, if anything, because it's just like, it feels like people aren't getting it. And like, I know that we don't know what we're talking about. A lot of things, but we do report on news a lot and we do understand trends that happen. And this seems like the beginning of a trend that we've seen many, many times. And that's concerning when we, over the last couple weeks, have seen trailers of a leaked Spider-Man multiplayer game, and that is seemingly not happening.
Yeah. I mean,
if for whatever reason are like, oh, this is not happening, I don't know about this one, yo.
Yeah. I mean, devil's advocate, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like, we had Naughty Dog cancel their Last of Us Online game. We had, that Spider-Man leaked trailer came out for the multiplayer thing, and like, it doesn't seem like it's happening. And like, one of the things that Naughty Dog mentioned, right, is that they didn't want to redefine their studio into something that was live service. Like, if we were to actually do this thing right, if we were to do Last of Us Online right, we would have to put in so much work that it would take away from like us making the single player stuff that we wanted to do and that we're known for and all this stuff. I feel like for Ben Studio, you're at a crossroads currently where like, you got to redefine anyway. Like, you got to find something different to do anyway, right? Like, you're not going to make more Days Gone because PlayStation doesn't want Days Gone 2. Are you going to make another open world survival thing? Are you going to make like, what is the next step for Ben Studio? I think I am more in favor of Ben Studio making something that is completely different. That is like something different from what they've already made with A Days Gone, right? Multiplayer thing, whatever it is, as opposed to like Naughty Dog giving up that identity, or like Guerrilla or Sucker Punch giving up that identity. That said, do I believe in this? So far, no. Like, but that, again, they don't want us to see this, right? Like, this is in their pitch. This is them trying to hire somebody. And so, like, I want to see their pitch. I want to judge it by that. But yeah, that's the best devil's advocate I can play. I know it's not like an exciting one, but
I appreciate it though, because I do think it is important to like want to see the good in some of these things.
Because
there are so many talented people, and I think it's easy to assume that this is stuff that they don't actually want to be doing. And I will say, I have yet to hear from developers when it comes to these live service things saying that they want to work on it. And I've heard from many people that they wish that it wasn't the case. They wish that the studio that they work at were doing something else. So take that for what it's worth.
That's fair. Moving on to story number four. A trailer for Sonic Toys Party, a mobile game similar to Fall Guys, is seemingly leaked. This is Chris Olien at VGC.
Sonic's just out there,
dude. Sonic just be doing shit, man. Good for him. Sonic is that friend that's like always on a vacation to somewhere else. Like, they're always like somewhere international. It's like, first of all, where'd you get all this money from?
Yeah.
To do this, Sonic? Who gave you all this money? Who's paying for this Sonic shit? It's me and it's you,
us.
Though.
It's us. Like, we're paying for Sonic's vacations.
Trips. We're allowing Sonic to do all these lavish vacations. And we're like, what the fuck? Like every other month, you're in Rome. You're in Spain. Like, you're just going places.
Oh, my
Good
Lord.
Good for you. Good living for your you. Best life. We're not going to pull up the trailer because it's leaked and like, we don't want to get claimed and all shit. But, Tim, I did DM it to you if you want to look at it. If you haven't looked at it yet.
Oh, I did see it.
Okay, cool. The story reads like this. A trailer for an apparent new Sonic mobile game that looks similar to Fall. God damn it. It's the Barrett. Well, I was going to call you Michael. God damn it, Barrett. This isn't the leaked thing. This came out officially.
I fucking love it.
That came out officially from Sonic.
that shit's real.
Sorry, that was real. That was the link in the doc there.
No.
Sorry, man.
A trailer for an apparent new Sonic mobile game that looks similar to Fall Guys is being shared online. The game, which is called Sonic Toys Party, was initially shown by YouTube channel The Sonic Show. It appears to support up to 32 players and features a variety of stages in which players compete to qualify. The footage shows stages where players have to reach the end first and another where they have to defeat enemies, suggesting there are different win conditions for each stage. Playable characters seen in the trailer include Sonic, Tails, Knuckles, Shadow, Amy, Eggman, Metal Sonic, and Rouge. Some players can be seen with cosmetic items such as top hats, masks, and Shao companions. Why top hats? Why top hats? What are you doing? Following the trailer's leak, Sonic news site Sonic Stadium added more information from its source. A user called Midori, who had previously said a Fall Guy style Sonic game was in development. According to the source, the trailer shows beta footage that was recorded last summer and intended for internal use only, and as such, the final game may look different. Here's the thing.
Tell me the
Tim. The Lord gives his toughest battles to his toughest soldiers. Because, like, I looked at the game. This isn't it. This is not it.
These aren't the toughest battles.
I mean, this was a tough. Honestly, you're right. This was a tough battle.
Yeah.
Sonic 06 was
like,
a very
just
tough
had a
battle.
Big hug because they just went through a tough battle. He just died.
Here's the thing.
He's back, though.
He's back.
Remember in Sonic Forces where he was kidnapped and tortured?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, come on,
he's been
man.
Through some shit, man.
The Lord gives his toughest battles to his strongest soldiers.
Yes.
And he be giving me some tough battles. Because I looked at the gameplay.
And top hats.
Because I looked at the gameplay of this and I was like, it seems really fun.
Yeah.
I would play this video game. But why is it on mobile?
That's how they be doing this.
Why
things.
Is it on mobile?
Remember last year when they put out a great 3D Sonic game on mobile?
Why do they keep doing this to me? And like, I don't want to play a game on my phone. I'm not hating on it. Like, sure, like I know there's a lot of people that play their games on their phones out there. I'm not hating on that. But like, I don't play games on my phone.
Yeah.
So like, why do you keep putting games?
Are you just hating because was it an Apple exclusive?
Well, it was like an Apple Arcade thing, so I am hating because of that.
Okay.
But I don't think I would have played it on Android either. I just want to play it on my Switch or on my Steam Deck or my PlayStation with my DualSense Edge.
So a different mobile device. Switch.
Handheld.
Steam Deck.
Handheld.
Well, mobile, you can bring it around with you.
Yeah, but like it's a real thing, you know.
It's a real thing.
Yeah,
are you saying phones aren't real?
I tried not to hate on mobile gaming, and you got me there.
Yeah.
Congratulations. I tried so hard.
Yeah, no, I also saw the trailer, and it's just like, yeah, it seems fun. I don't know, like, if I want to play this type of game, I'm gonna play Fall Guys. They just nailed it. So it's like I don't, and also Sonic's in Fall Guys.
Yeah, but like they're in like Sonic stages and shit in this game. I'm like, I would 1000% play a fucking party multiplayer game that is Fall Guys like, but it's like you're doing Sonic shit.
Yeah,
you know, like and it's like you're Sonic and there's like a Tails and a Shadow in there and like you got all the characters.
Yeah,
that sounds so fun.
I also couldn't disagree with you more.
Man, I get that. Like, I'm sure most people are like, oh yeah, they're about to hate on this shit, and I'm like, listen. It's not for everybody.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't expect this to do that great, but I would play the fuck out of this.
I'm just thinking
this is my kind of bullshit.
When I think about what made Fall Guys so amazing was it was so tight. It was very similar to Mario 64. You move in a way that you are trying to move. Sonic, not so much. So adding that type of gameplay, I don't know that it's the best fit of the things.
I just want to try it. I just want to try it.
Yeah. Let's do it on the stream.
Well, mobile, you know?
Yeah, you can play with the controller.
And it's probably going to be an Apple Arcade exclusive, knowing
we'll get it set up for you. You just sit there, we'll hand you a controller, we'll tell you it's a Switch. You won't know the difference.
Bowl. Story number five. We got a South Park Snow Day review roundup for you. Right now on Metacritic, it is sitting at a 61. On OpenCritic, it's sitting at a 63. Travis Northup at IGN gave it a 3 out of 10 and says, thanks to recent successes, we know exactly what a great South Park game looks like. And South Park Snow Day couldn't be farther from it. I'm a huge fan of throwing out the rulebook to try something completely fresh, especially in this age of samey sequels and forever live service games that increasingly play it safe. But this bold attempt at a new direction misses the mark so drastically, I'm aghast at just how sideways things went. Whether it's due to the thoroughly unenjoyable combat or the uncharacteristically toothless and unfunny story, I can't recommend anyone waste their time on this cooperative lost cause, even my fellow diehard South Park fans. And then Jamie Ditchfield at Nintendo Life gave it a 4 out of 10 and says, South Park Snow Day has a lot of potential with some of its roguelike inspired mechanics, but ultimately fails to deliver an engaging experience whether you're playing it solo or in co-op. Combat feels unresponsive, the technical issues are numerous, on Switch at least, and the writing is some of the weakest in the series. Tim, me and Andy got to preview South Park Snow Day.
And I got to watch you guys. I got to preview you guys previewing it.
Yeah, during GDC. And yeah, playing it, I was like, this is fine. Like, I one thing I wanted to point out, because I didn't realize today was the review embargo. I thought it was just going to be previews. But like, I didn't know what this game was until I actually played it. Like, I feel like they didn't do a great job of actually like telling people what you're doing in this game. Because they would show you in trailers and it's like,
it looked a little bit more like Mario Rabbids Kingdom Battle, kind of like from the perspective in that first second trailer, I guess, that they showed.
Yeah, it's like, is this Diablo? Is this like just a co-op thing? Like, what's going on here? And the answer is like, I guess, yeah. Like, it is like a co-op roguelite style thing, right? And like, and you're leveling up your characters, and like, you have like different classes of things, like a Diablo, and you're going through and you're just taking down enemies and fulfilling quests and stuff. And again, it was fine. Like, it looked like South Park, but it was South Park in 3D, which I think has never looked good. I think this is the closest it's come to looking good.
We learned back in the N64 days to never do that. Yeah, never again.
And like, it's like, that's the weird thing is, yeah, the N64 had multiple South Park games that took place in the snow.
And it is weird. It feels like they did that on purpose.
This feels like a spiritual successor those games. And it's like, why? Because those weren't good games either.
Yeah.
The South Park humor was fine. There were a couple of things that made me and Andy laugh, right? Like, we entered a boss area, and there was like a kid, like during the cutscene where we were talking to like other people, like a kid was just closing off a fence to like do like kind of like the boss closed off area. So seeing that in the background was funny. And there was like, I don't know, there was a couple of lines from Randy that were funny too. It's like the typical South Park stuff, but I wasn't laughing the whole time, right? It didn't feel like Stick of Truth, where every moment in Stick of Truth felt like it had like a really funny gag going to it, right? Or like a really like funny, thoughtful like bit or something that was happening. Here it is just like random dialogue from NPCs that are saying bullshit. And it's like, cool, South Park, you know, it's like, it didn't feel like great South Park. And then the combat just felt like whatever, you know, it felt like me mashing buttons to take down hordes. I wasn't really thinking that hard about it. You have like your bullshit abilities, which are your like ultimate abilities. And it was really funny because like we had a dude explain to us like the mechanics, right? And like he's like a European dude with like a very strong accent. And so he's like, you know, he's like, yeah, you're bullshit to me there. And like me and Andy are like, this is awesome. He's explaining bullshit to us. He's like being very serious at like a GDC preview, and he's explaining like the bullshit abilities. But like, you know, it's like cool. And when the enemies do the bullshit ability, like pauses the whole thing and like cuts to him and it does the whole thing. And it's like, all right, like, and nothing about it spoke to me in a way that had me wanting to like continue playing it. I will say that we played it on Switch, and one of my biggest complaints was playing it on Switch. Like, I wanted to see how it played on other consoles because the Switch version doesn't look the best. There was a part where Cartman's talking, and like, you know how the South Park characters have like just like the black outline for their mouth or whatever, right? And even that wasn't in good resolution. Like, there was like a fogginess to his mouth when he was moving, and I'm like, why does that not look good? Yeah, like, it looks worse than what South Park looks like, and South Park is already a crude looking thing. And so I chalked that up to maybe the Switch version. You know, I wanted to see what it looked like on other platforms, but yeah, like, I don't know, it seemed whatever. I wasn't that into it. But Tim, South Park Snow Day, big release, We just talked about a lot of big news, but if I wanted something almost smaller, say the tiniest news I need to know about, where would I go?
You go to our last story, the Wii News channel, where we cover all the small news items that you need to know about.
And there you have it. It's time for story number six. We got some Wii News. The Stellar Blade demo officially releases on March 29th at 7 a.m. Pacific time on PSN. And also, the save data carries over to the full game if you complete the demo.
You love to see it, man. One of the coolest advancements we've made as humanity is demo progress carrying over to the full game.
I feel like if we figured this out during the PS3 era, we'd be living in a different world right now. Because we would have played the demos.
Yeah.
Yeah, like every game had a demo during that era. But you just couldn't carry over the save data. If you could do that, oh my God.
Everything would be solved.
You'd be living in a different 2024. This next one comes from VGC. Bethesda has provided a small update on the Elder Scrolls 6. They say this was as part of a larger message released to coincide with the 30th anniversary of the RPG series. The company reiterated that the highly anticipated sequel is in the works. Quote, last but not least, yes, we are in development on the next chapter, the Elder Scrolls 6, it said. Even now, returning to Tamriel and playing early builds has us filled with the same joy, excitement, and promise of adventure, end quote.
I mean, obviously they chose their words wisely there, but even saying playing early builds, pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
We'll see you in 2030. Capcom has detailed some of his planned updates for Dragon's Dogma 2, including a 30 FPS capped option and the ability to start a new game when existing save data is already present. Cassette Beasts multiplayer update launches on May 20th. PAX East will return to Boston on May 8th, 2025 through May 11th, 2025. PlayStation has released a Jim Ryan digital bobblehead to celebrate his career. Next up, we got a new Judas info that's coming tomorrow. I got a tweet from Jeff Keighley saying that a couple weeks ago he had the chance to play 5 hours of Judas in Boston. Judas is the new game from Ken Levine and Ghost Story revealed at the Game Awards 2022.
Eric, so, there's something about this goddamn bobblehead in between us right now that I don't like.
I love it. Salute to Jim Ryan's bobblehead.
Good Lord.
And then last but not least, Fallout 76 Season 15 Atlantic City is out today.
Season 15, man.
Most TV shows don't make it to season 15.
That's the
problem. Fallout 76 made it there.
One of the big problems with the live service games is it just gets untenable at a certain point where it's like, even if you're a fan of the thing, even if you're hardcore into it, it just starts becoming noise.
Yeah.
Even like Warzone, whatever season they're in, Fortnite, whatever chapter, I don't even know what the fuck they call them.
Yeah.
But like, it just, that's a challenge that I think that no one's solved yet. And I don't know if it's solvable.
Yeah, like I couldn't tell you what chapter Fortnite's on, right? Because it's chapter and then seasons, I think. So like, are we on chapter 3, season 6? Are we on chapter 2, season 11? Let me know, chat. Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. That's it for Wii News. And again, I know we wanted to talk a little bit about the PAX East Boston thing, right? Or PAX East moving to May. Because, yeah, I'm with you that this is one of the things I talked about, I think with Mike on the way to Boston for PAX East this year, that like, I feel like it comes at a weird time. PAX West is dope because it is post E3, pre the fall rush.
Mm-hmm.
And so it feels like there are things to talk about, demos to be played, things to market and all this shit. March is just a weird time.
Totally.
And so it's like,
it's freezing in Boston.
It's also freezing. Dude, when I tell you that my hotel was a 5-minute walk away from the convention center, but it was a 5 grueling minutes. Like walking, there's a tunnel on the way there. It was like the Seaport Hotel I was at. There's like a wind tunnel on the way there. I felt like I was fighting demons in that tunnel.
Yeah.
It was rough. But yeah, it's cold. It's a weird time. Like, you know, it feels like it's also at the end of GDC. And so you have a lot of people that aren't going because they're going to GDC. Mm-hmm. Or you have people that are going to both. And guess what? They're suffering like me. Because I get there and I'm tired. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be there anymore.
Yeah.
I'm glad they're moving out of March.
It's perfect.
I think May being right before that Summer Game Fest time, there's opportunity there.
Yep.
Especially if you are a studio or publisher that has, let's say, like an early May showcase or whatever. Hey, come see us at PAX and then come see us at Summer Game Fest or IGN Live or whatever it is in June. I think you can tee things up in that way. I think that's a really smart move.
I love it.
Also, yeah, very curious to see more of Judas. It's very interesting.
We got a couple super chats here, Bless.
We do.
We got one from Madrox saying, stop funding Sonic's trips, Blessing. What we do out here, man.
You know, like,
you got to stand for something.
Or you fall for anything.
And I think we do both.
Exactly.
You know? Bob Shiggity says, Tim, when are you guys doing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth spoiler cast? No current plans, but I would like to. Would you be interested in doing that, Bless?
Yeah, I'd be down.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things I would want to talk about in a spoiler cast.
Good.
this comes back to, like, you know, we do, it's tough to review games that are so story heavy, and like a lot of how you feel is going to be story specific, because then it's like I can't let my full feelings out on the review, because mm-hmm. like I don't want to talk about the ending, or I don't want to talk about certain beats or whatever. And like, I love Spoiler Cast for that. Like, I would want to at least like have that, so we can lay the cards on the table of how did we feel about this thing that happened. Mm-hmm. And so whenever you want, I'm down.
Yeah, I will. This is just a tease at the future. Greg and I have a meeting today where we're talking about a lot of stuff that we're trying to figure out coming up. Mm-hmm. And one of the big things is trying to solve for the problem we have with getting Spoiler Cast done, which is just mm-hmm. timing and our programming and how things go. And I want to come up with a solution. So I just want people to understand.
Yeah,
we understand that y'all want it and we want to do it. It's just very hard to find places to fit it with just the way that we do things and how much we move on to the next thing. And it's just like the way we review and play games would have to, I think, change a little bit. We'd have to plan around knowing we're doing a Spoiler Cast.
Yeah.
That's all that it is. So we got to figure it all out, but I appreciate y'all's patience, and there's a lot of understanding on both sides.
Thank you.
And then John Van Pelt says, Tim, what's the best headset to get for my PS5? I can't remember what you said about Sony's new one. Sorry to go off topic. Honestly, best is there's, I don't think there is a one size fits all best option for headsets. Unfortunately, I do think that Sony's new Pulse Elite or whatever the hell they're called, are very, very good. It's a great even. And I think at the price range, they are, if you're just talking PS5, I'd suggest them. Just they are not without their faults. And they disconnect constantly.
Yep.
Not in a major way. They reconnect, but there is this moment of little...
I have it all the time. And it's gotten so bad to the point where I don't even like notice it anymore, because I'm just like, oh, it's cutting out. It's going to come back in a second. With my PlayStation Pulse Explores, like I'll wear them everywhere, right? And I'm wearing them, and I was wearing them in Boston all the time. But yeah, like I'm listening to a podcast, it'll cut out for 1 second and cut back in, and I'm like, do I rewind to hear what they said, or do I just keep going? It's a problem. Like, I don't know what that comes from. I don't know why it's that way, but
it's really annoying. Upsetting, because the PlayStation Link stuff should have fixed it, and it just straight up didn't. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, it doesn't happen to me. It happens to me every single time.
It happens to me all the time,
no matter where I am. Like, and again, people are like, oh, you have too much tech in your theater. I get that. I do. It's a problem there. Here, there's too much tech here. Cool. When I'm outside using the Pulse Explorer ones you're talking about, same thing.
There's
not too much tech there.
And it's Bluetooth.
Yeah.
Like, why is this happening via Bluetooth?
There's a lot. I mean, again, it is a minor inconvenience that happens every single time.
I think that's my own, with the Pulse Elites, I think that's my only issue, though. Like, aside from that, I love that thing.
They're great. They're very comfortable. The 3D audio, the Tempest stuff that PlayStation 5 has, they sound phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like, they're very, very high quality. And for the price, I think that they're actually a really good buy. If you want to go absolutely crazy, the Odyssey headphones are, like, I would say the best. The weird thing is, though, they are now acquired by PlayStation, and I imagine that there will be new headsets coming out at some point in the next couple of years that will better integrate all this stuff together.
That was the man in charge of everything, Tim, including your headsets.
Yeah. I didn't give him my ears, though. That was Mark Cerny.
Odyssey, of course, spelled Aldies. Aldies nuts.
Yeah.
A-U-D-E-Z-E.
Mm-hmm.
Aldies. Unless I need you to get offset.
Aldies. Aldies. Do you have any more Super Chats?
That's it.
Sick. All right, we have one more that came in just now. Mad Rock says 100% of the Lost Crown. Absolutely great game.
Oh my god, yeah, dude.
Are you going to 100% it?
I already did.
Oh, you did.
Oh, yeah. I did. I did so much. I didn't platinum, which is fucking infuriating. But I 100%ed it so much that I 100%ed it on my PlayStation. And I've been telling people my problem was I've been playing on Switch, PlayStation. You can upload the save and then you have to download it and then you can like continue it.
Mm-hmm.
I 100%ed. I was at like 96% or something on PS5. And I got to the 100%. And then when I recently, for the new update that just came out a couple of days ago, I booted up my Switch and I was like, oh, I haven't downloaded my 100% file yet. So I'm still at 96.
Yeah.
I 100%ed it again.
Fuck yeah. Good for you. Good for you.
I love that game, man. It's Hell so yeah. good.
Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/ you're wrong. Rewrite it and let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong, so we can correct it for those watching later on YouTube and listening later on podcast services around the globe. Bob writes in and says, I don't understand why Rockstar stopped making the smaller scale games. They weren't flops. They made some money, kept fans happy, and strengthened their brand. I see why they don't want to distract folks from working on GTA, but why not expand? That's not a you're wrong. That would have been a super chat, but I read it anyway. And also, you know, why'd Rihanna stop making music? She found that Fenty money.
That's all good questions.
You know, and so like sometimes you find a new thing that you're making a lot of money on, and I guess GTA is not new, but it made a lot of money, made so much money for Rockstar, where it's like, all right, why the fuck would we ever make another Warriors? Like, what are we doing out here? Why would he ever make a Midnight Club?
And again, 2K has other teams to do that.
Yeah.
So.
Ethan Winter Lover says, not my first time calling Blessing out on this, but Ethan Winters is, again, not a year wrong. Oh, actually, no, this is a year wrong.
Yeah,
Ethan Winters
this is
sucks.
A fucking year wrong.
You're wrong about
Ethan
that.
Ethan Winter Lover.
God damn.
Figure your shit out.
We found Ethan Winter's alt.
Yeah, exactly.
Bander SN says, Bless wished for Fall Guys stages that were Sonic levels. During the Sonic and Fall Guys crossover, they did release official Sonic themed stages to play on. I gotta play more Fall Guys, apparently. Good for them. And then Nitro says, Fortnite is on Chapter 5, Season 2, which is overall Season 22. No way, really? Chapter 5? I remember when Chapter 2 was a big thing. Because, like, it was like, oh, they restarted, you know? We're on Chapter 5? Insane. Finish the story,
everybody.
Finish the story over that Fortnite. That's it for your wrong. Of course, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, where each and every weekday we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about live on YouTube, Twitch, and on podcast services around the globe. If you love what we do, support us with the Kind of Funny membership on Patreon or YouTube to get all of our shows ad-free, watch us record them live, and get a daily exclusive show. Until next time, Game Daily.